الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in the book Al-Kabair, The Major Sins by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we have been reading from the portion the author, he is mentioning with regards to Kabair al-Lisan. Kabair al-Lisan, the major sins with regards to the tongue. The major sins that occur by way of the tongue. And we have seen in the previous classes the dangers of this affair, and that it is incumbent upon a person to think before he speaks, and to reflect, and to choose the best speech and the good words, and to say that which is truthful, and to say that which is proper and that which is good, and to refrain from saying that which is dishonest or that which is foul and that which is indecent. And likewise, we have seen from the evidences that the author, he has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the obligation of making it tathabbut and verifying information before one speaks and before one spreads it. Verifying the information before one speaks and before one spreads it. And likewise, even if a person, he were to verify the authenticity of an issue, it's not upon him in every circumstance, in every situation, to share in spreading that. Rather, again, this will go back to the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut, that whoever truly believes in Allah in the last day, then let him say that which is good or be silent. So go back to this affair, even if he verified that there is some information that has reached him and is true. And is true. Not everything that someone knows should be spread in every moment and every time. And for this reason, the people of knowledge, they say, لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْلَمُ يُقَالُ. لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْلَمُ يُقَالُ. Not everything that is known should be mentioned. Not everything that is known should be mentioned. Any meaning in every gathering, in every circumstance, in every situation. وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. And for every circumstance, for every gathering, there is a proper statement. وَلِكُلِّ مَيْدَانٍ رِجَالُهُ. And for every field and arena, there are men. And if there are men that are required to speak, and that are qualified to speak, and whenever they speak, they'll bring benefit. So therefore, not everything that somebody knows, he should say it, even if he verified it, because it could still be a means for him to fall on his face in the hellfire, waliyadu billah. And the author, he has chapters to come from them, the chapter of Al-Ghiba. And Al-Ghiba, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has defined, dhikruka akhaka bima yakra, to mention your brother in a manner he does not like, meaning behind his back. Behind his back. And then it was mentioned to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ara'ayt in kana fihi ma qultu. What about if what I mentioned about him is true? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if what you mentioned about him is true, then this is faqad iqtabtahu. Then verily you have backbitten him. And if what you said about him is a lie, faqad bahadtahu. And you have made a buhtan and a slander and a lie against him and fabricated lies against him. So therefore, the reality of backbiting is to mention your brother in a manner he does not like, to mention something true about him. So even if a person, he verified the information about somebody, it's not incumbent upon him, nor is it required for him to transmit that. Rather, he should think about the benefit and the harms in that, and think about whether it's even permissible for him or not to spread that. And to mention that, would this fall into backbiting, or would it fall into carrying tales and the likes like this? Because much animosity and hatred and enmity and separation and dissension in the ranks, it comes by way of what the people mention with their tongues. It comes by way of what the people mention with their tongues. Much of the fitin is it occurs in this manner, with the statements of loose tongues and of people who do not recollect and think before they speak, or people who have foul intentions and have corrupted hearts, and they speak, and therefore their speech brings harms to the Muslims. And their speech brings harms to the Muslims and to the ranks of the Muslims and to the ranks of Ahl Sunnah and the likes because of their foul tongues and because of their negligence with regards to their tongues. It has been collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah in Al-Adib Al-Mufrad, in his book Al-Adib Al-Mufrad, from the hadith of Ali. And this hadith is hadithun mawquf. Hadithun mawquf. What does that mean? It's a hadith from Ali, and it's hadithun mawquf. Naam. That's right. So here it's the narration of, or the statement of Ali himself. Hadithun mawquf. Ayni mawqufun ala Ali. So this is the statement of Ali, radiyallahu anhu. He says, and we know that in his days, in the time of his khilafah, radiyallahu anhu, the fitna was spreading, and it was taking hold, and there were great trials at that time, and great dissension in the ranks of the believers in the time of the khilafah of Ali radiyallahu anhu. So here is some of the advice that he gave the Muslims, and he said, لا تكونوا عجولان مذايع بذورا. لا تكونوا عجولان مذايع بذورا. He said, radiyallahu anhu, do not be ujulan, yani musta'jirin. Do not hasten and be reckless and move without thinking and speak without reflecting. لا تكونوا عجولان يعني مستعجلين يعني متسرعين في الكلام وفي قبول الكلام وفي نشر الكلام. يعني don't hasten and don't be reckless and heedless with regards to accepting and believing in information that reaches you and transmitting that. لا تكونوا عجولان مذايع. مذايع يعني is the plural of مذياع. The midya. What is the midya? This is the midya. This is the midya. The microphone is the midya. What does the midya do? And in our days, the microphone is the midya. And but the midya, linguistically, is the broadcaster. And the midya here, the microphone, it makes the words transmitted to a long distance, to a long distance. And so in their time, the midya, he's the one who is he is known for transmitting and carrying people's speech, and they hear something, he will transmit it to the others quickly and broadcast everything that comes to him. And he فَلَا تَكُونُوا عُجُولًا مَذَايِعِ. So do not be like this, reckless and hasty, rushing to accept the statements of everybody and to transmit the statements of everybody, broadcasting the words left and right and the statements of so-and-so left and right. And then he said بُذُورًا. لا تكونوا عجولا مذايع بذورا. بذورا, بذور is the plural of بذور. بذور is the one who is always planting the seed of hatred. Planting the seed of hatred and animosity and sowing discord amongst the people with his speech. And literally, sowing discord. And because the word a bidr is a seed. Bidra is a seed. You plant the seed in the ground. But here what is intended, بذور, the one who plants hatred, and he plants animosity, and he sows dissension in the hearts of the people. Do not be like this. He said, radiyallahu anhu, do not be like this. This is great advice. لَا تَكُونُوا عُجُولًا مَذَايِعَ بُذُورًا. Do not be from those people who hasten in their speech and in their judgment for the people and the likes, and in their actions, and being reckless with their tongue and reckless in their actions. And do not spread the tales and carry everything that you hear and transmit it to the people and broadcast everything that reaches you from information. And do not be from those who sow dissension and sow hatred and animosity and discord in the hearts of the believers. In the hearts of the believers. And he mentioned the reason why. He said, radiyallahu anhu, فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ بَلَاءً مُبَرِّحًا مُكَلِّحًا وَأُمُورًا مُتَمَاحِلًا رُدُوحًا. Because verily, then these words, all of them, they have a similar meaning, but what is intended, because verily in front of you are tremendous trials. Any tremendous trials and hardships that are dangerous. dangerous trials and hardships that you will be facing, and especially in those times, and whenever the fitna occurred. And we say today, especially in our times, whenever the fitna have spread and to the ends of the world, and the fitna, it even enters our homes, yani in our own hands, in our pockets, in our own devices, and from the internet and the means of communication like Facebook and WhatsApp and all of these other affairs, the information is spread so easy. So therefore, a believer, the one who learns and hears the likes of these narrations, then he will take himself to account, and he will believe in that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he has mentioned, and he will check his tongue. And this is from the most important of affairs. And this is from the most important of the affairs. And that which comes from the tongue is the clarification of the reality of the heart. And all of this has proceeded. And the previous narration that we had taken, the last narration in the chapter that has proceeded, it was the narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, إن من أحبكم إلي وأقربكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة أحسينكم أخلاقا. That verily the most beloved, from the most beloved of you to me, and the nearest to me in the gathering, in the gathering, the one sitting nearest to me in the gathering on the day of resurrection are those who have the best manners. Are those who have the best manners. It's important to understand with regards to the manners, that the manners, they must be according to the legislation, and they must be for the sake of Allah. And the good manners, the good manners in dealings with the people, if it is not based upon ikhlas, if it's not based upon sincerity and truthfulness with Allah Azza wa Jalla, it will not benefit a person. It will not benefit a person. There was a man, his name was Abdullah ibn Jud'an, and he was known for generosity and helping the weak and the poor, and he was known for being kind to the people. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will any of that benefit him whatsoever? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that will not benefit him. None of that will benefit him whatsoever. None of that will benefit him whatsoever. All of the charity that he did, and the kindness that he did, and the help that he did for the orphans and the likes, or for the poor people, so on and so forth, none of that will benefit him whatsoever. And he, after he had died, she's asking about this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, none of that will benefit him whatsoever. لَمْ يَكُلْ يَوْمٍ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي خَطِيَّةِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. He didn't ever say one day in his life, oh my Lord, forgive me my sin on the day of judgment. And he said, therefore, he was not doing this, doing the good deeds and having good manners and dealing with the people justly and helping them and aiding them and supporting them, hoping that his sins will be forgiven, hoping that he will have position with Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept from him his actions. So therefore, it had no benefit for him. Therefore, it had no benefit for him. So again, the good manners, what is intended here is the good manners of the legislation, and they begin with Allah. And they begin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with correct belief in Him and trust and reliance upon Him, and knowing Him by His names and His attributes, and knowing Him by His signs and His book and in His legislation, and knowing Him by His signs and His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then honoring Him and venerating Him and loving Him by complying to His commandments and following His ordainments subhanahu wa ta'ala, and leaving off His prohibitions. And likewise, after that, the manners, they fall in line with the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that means to believe in everything that he mentioned, that is the truth, and that he has conveyed the message, and that what he was upon sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was revelation, and that he did not speak from his desires sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And that one will strive to obey him and refrain and make his best effort and greatest effort to avoid from disobeying or opposing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from the manners. This is from the real manners, the true manners. After that, with the people, giving the people their rights in order and according to that which Allah has given them, each one accordingly, beginning with the parents, and then the spouses and the children and the relatives and the neighbor, and so on and so forth until the end of the rights of the people. This is the one who has good manners. And then after that, any building upon that with having forbearance and kindness and generosity and help and dealing with the people and showing ithar and having preference for others and taking hardship and bearing the burden and the hard and difficulty for others and bearing the harm of others without harming them. All of this comes after that. All of this comes after that. At this time, these actions, they will benefit. So here, the good manners is a means to have high ranks in paradise. Is the means to have high ranks in paradise. But the point from the issue now is to see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he coupled that with the dangers of the tongue. This is one aspect. To have high ranks and to have nearness to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his love, one has to have good manners. And from the head of that is that which is related to the tongue. As for the one that's on the other end of the scale, who does not have the love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rather the one who is most detestful to him, and the one who is not near to him in the gathering on the day of resurrection, rather he's the furthest from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيَّ وَأَبْعَدَكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ أَفَرْثَارُونَ. Those people who are talking all the time and running their mouths and speaking without benefit and not taking into account what they're saying and speaking about this one and that one and carrying tales, and those people who have fallen into qila and qal, that which we have seen is also prohibited. Yani he said and she said, المتشدقون المتفهقون. And those people who are arrogant and boastful with their tongue, and those people are proud and they use their tongue eloquently in order to display their virtue over others and to belittle the people. So therefore the issue of the tongue comes here, yani in contrast, on the other hand, with regards to the noble manners. So therefore a believer, yani, should realize that from the greatest clarification of his noble manners is that he has control over his tongue, and that he has authority over his tongue, and that he uses his tongue in the pleasure of his Lord, the creator of the tongue, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ التَّشَدُّقِ وَتَكَلُّفِ الْفِصَاحَ. بَابُ التَّشَدُّقِ وَتَكَلُّفِ الْفِصَاحَ. التَّشَدُّقِ, and it comes from a shidduq. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the shidduq is the corner of the mouth. And التَّشَدُّقِ is whenever a person, he will use his speech, and he will be arrogant with his speech, and he'll be conceited with his speech, and he will try to beautify his speech, but he'll go to great efforts, yani exaggerating in that affair, in order to praise himself, and in order to belittle others, and to raise his own status. And at التشدق, this is the masdar. التشدق is the masdar. What's the verb? تشدق. أحسنت. What's the ism fa'il? Ism fa'il mu? Muta? Dik. أحسنت. متشدق. The ism fa'il is المتشدق. يعني this is what has come in the previous narration. المتشدقون. The ism fa'il. And now he mentioned المتشدق. He is المتطاول على الناس بكلامه ويتكلم بملء فيه تفاسحا وتعاظما لكلامه. That the متشدق, and the one that has fallen into this affair here of التشدق, he is the one who is arrogant and boastful towards the people with his speech. The one who is arrogant and boastful towards the people with his speech. He said, ويتكلم بملء فيه. And he speaks with his mouth full, and he mouth full of himself, and mouth full of his tongue and his own words, and he making his mouth big in this manner with eloquence, and also in pride, and glorifying himself or praising himself, and the likes over the people, and by way of his speech. So from the means of arrogance and to be conceited towards the people, and to be haughty against the people, is that a person he will speak to them, and he will be boastful to them in his speech, in the manner that he speaks, and he clarifying his virtue over them and the likes. So this is the mutashaddiq. So this is what is the chapter of a tashadduq, and he's speaking in this manner. Also it has been mentioned that the mutashaddiq is the mutawassi' al mutawassi' fi al-kalam min ghayri ihtiyatin wala ihtiraz. And the one who is mutashaddiq also is the one who he speaks a lot. And he goes to distances in his speech, and he doesn't think or recollect or take any caution or precaution whenever he speaks. And meaning he's someone who has a loose tongue, and he's saying that which comes to his mind, and he's known for speaking in this manner like this. All of this is included, and all of this is blameworthy. Likewise, it's been mentioned that the mutashaddiq, yani what is being referred to in this chapter, is mentioned that he is al-mustahzi'u bin nas, yalwi shidqahu bihim wa alayhim. That he is the one who is, he's the one who's belittling the people. He's the one who's belittling the people and putting them down and mocking them. And whenever he does that with his tongue and with his mouth. And he'll move his mouth and his head left and right, and moving his mouth in a manner, yani, to display his eloquence and the likes like this, all of this to boast and to brag against the people or towards the people. So all of this, yani, this is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. Also, he says, "Watakallufi al-fasaha, watakalluf al-fasaha," and to go to extremes in trying to be eloquent. And trying to be eloquent, you need to have eloquent speech. Al-fasaha is eloquence, and to have eloquent and beautiful and clear speech is beneficial, and it's praiseworthy and good whenever it is used to clarify the truth, and whenever it is used to refute the falsehood. But whenever it is used to brag and to boast and to raise one's own status and rank and to belittle others, now it becomes from the sins, and now it becomes blameworthy. Or whenever it is used to decorate the falsehood and to make it seem appealing and to refute the truth and the likes like this, now it becomes blameworthy, and now it becomes foul. So the fasaha here, not in every aspect, is it considered blameworthy. But here he says takalluf. A takalluf is when somebody will try too hard to do something, or he will go to extremes, or he'll make efforts and he will try to display something that he does not have in reality, or he will go beyond the limits in order to do it. And sometimes it's interpreted to mean pretend, and other times it's interpreted to mean to go beyond the boundaries or to exaggerate and the likes like this. You need to go to extremes with regards to al-fasaha. This is the chapter here that the author he's mentioning. So he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجَسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَكُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And he mentioning here, he says, in the statement of Allah the Most High, and he begins, rahimahullah, with a verse from the book of Allah, from Surah Al-Munafiqun, from the chapter of the hypocrites. And this is a detailed, this verse here is a detailed explanation of some of the attributes of the hypocrites. And what is being referred to in the verse, in this revelation, were the hypocrites in the time of Al-Madinah, and they were true hypocrites. So these are from the traits of the true hypocrites, and those who claim that they were believers and they are not believers. They said with their tongue that they bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but their hearts did not believe that. So this is a verse referring to them specifically. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. Whenever you see them, their bodies amaze you. And in the way of their bodies, their strength, or their appearance, or their clothing, and the likes like this, you're amazed by that. And the hypocrites, whenever you see them, you look at them, they look appealing, they look attractive, they look nice, they look strong, they look healthy, they look good, and the likes, maybe in their appearance, and the likes. When يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And whenever they speak, you listen to their statements. And whenever they speak, you listen to their statements. كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَةٌ. After this, Allah, he mentioned about them, it's like they're blocks of wood propped up, and like their images propped up from wood, meaning there's no true benefit from that. And if they're speaking, they look strong and they look healthy and their appearance is nice, and they have eloquent and beautiful speech. The one who listens to them, he hears and he listens to them attentively, but in reality they're nothing. In reality they're weak and they're deficient and they're cowards and they're scared. And it's all, like they say, affront. It's all like they say, affront. Yani, that they're speaking and they'll beautify their speech. And they used to swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that they're Muslims and that they believe in Allah. And they would swear by Allah Azza wa Jal, calling Allah to witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the Prophet. Even some of them, they would go on battles with them. Yani, to save their reputation and to save their honor. But in reality, they're hypocrites. So the hypocrites are known for this, that they have, many times they'll have a nice appearance. They'll have a good appearance and they'll have speech. They'll decorate their speech and they will adorn their speech. And some of them, they'll have the ability to speak eloquently. But behind that is nothing. And it's all falsehood and it's lies. And so this is the issue of the true hypocrites, but likewise those from this ummah who have been tried with the affairs of hypocrisy and their actions, they can have similar traits. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ And this is the point of the author, that not necessarily someone will be a true hypocrite, will fall into these affairs and be a true hypocrite, but rather this is from the traits of the hypocrites. So there are individuals who are like that, that they swear and they speak and they adorn their speech, but they do not mean it. And they use their speech to harm others and to gain benefit for their own personal gains. And so this is the affair, yani, to pay attention to, yani, that they'll make their speech eloquent and they'll beautify their speech, but they're liars. And so this is something that's very dangerous. After this, the author, he says, عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه مرفوعا. Also, it has been narrated from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إن من البيان لسحرا. The verity from البيان. البيان is any a type of the eloquent and beautiful speech. البيان, any meaning the clear and eloquent and beautiful speech. The clear and eloquent and beautiful speech is known as al-bayan. And this is something that is a blessing that Allah has taught a human being. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. It's a blessing and a favor from Allah Azza wa Jal that the human being is able to express himself and to use his tongue to express that which is in his heart from his ideas and his thoughts and his emotions and the likes like this. So this is a great blessing, yani al-bayan, and then to have the ability to do that in the best manner, this is likewise even more of a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the bayan, it must be used in the pleasure of Allah, and the clarification and the beautiful speech and the eloquence of the tongue, it must be used in that which is allowed and permissible, and in defending the truth and the people of the truth, and in refuting the falsehood and the people of falsehood. But if the bayan and the beautiful speech and the eloquent tongue is used to belittle people and to mock and mimic people, to take the rights of others and to put them down, or if it's used to decorate the falsehood and the ways of falsehood and make it seem appealing to the people until they are misguided or until they are uncertain about the correct path, then this is all blameworthy and this is all foul. So in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna min al-bayani la-sihra," that truly, from al-bayan and the eloquent speech, there is magic. And sihr is magic. And from the beautiful speech and eloquent speech, there is a type of that that is magic. Rawahu al-Bukhari. It's been narrated by al-Bukhari rahimahullahu taala. Yani, meaning that there is a type that is magic, meaning not all of it is magic, al-bayan, and not all of it is in this realm considered magic, but in any case, what the people of knowledge have mentioned about this narration is that the majority of the people of knowledge have considered this to be a praise, praising the speech, meaning that the speech can be, yani, so eloquent and beautiful that it will be as if it's magic. Yani, the way that it enchants the hearts and the way that it calls the people's hearts to ponder and to listen and to reflect. So from this aspect, it's considered like magic. It's considered like magic that it has an effect on the hearts and it draws the hearts of the people and their thoughts and their minds to reflect, and they are affected. And their hearts are affected by the speech. Whenever the speech is beautiful and it's decorated and it's eloquent, and a person who knows how to present the words properly, this speech will affect the hearts. It will affect the hearts. And just as magic, it affects the hearts. And from the magic, as-sarfu wal-atf. From the magic, as-sarfu wal-atf. And to bring love to between two people, or to turn people away from each other who were beloved. And this is from the types of true magic, any of the evil and wicked and permissible magic. So there's a relationship here. The fact that this speech, it has an effect on the heart. So this is the intent here, yani, from this aspect. But others from the people of knowledge have mentioned that rather this is blameworthy. That rather what is intended here is not a praise of the bayan, but rather a blame of the bayan. Inna min al bayani la sihra. And to blame the the bayan and the eloquent speech, and they mentioned that this is because what is intended here is that one, he will decorate his speech and he will adorn his speech and he will beautify his speech and speak in the most eloquent and beautiful manner in order to decorate the falsehood and to make a talbis ala nas, to make the falsehood mixed with the truth to where it's unclear for the people, until they will have doubts about the truth, until they will have they will not be able to see clearly, and they will come and they will use beautiful speech and the likes in order to aid falsehood and to repel and to refute the truth and to mix up the truth with the falsehood. And no doubt this is blameworthy. No doubt this is blameworthy. But in any case, if a person, he were to use the eloquent tongue and the beautiful speech for a beautiful and a noble cause, like spreading the truth and defending the truth and refuting the falsehood, then it's praiseworthy. Then it's praiseworthy. And from this aspect, the man, he came, one time it's been narrated that he came to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he died in the year 101. He was Khalifatul Mu'mineen, wa kana salihan, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And it's mentioned that a man, he came to him and asked him about an issue, but the way that he asked and approached him in the most beautiful manner. He asked and he approached him in the most beautiful manner. At this time, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, he said, "Inna hadha al-sihr al-halal." He said, "Verily, this is the permissible magic. Verily, this is the permissible magic." And he referring to, yani this narration here, that which he understood that. So the point is, if the speech is beautiful and it's good, and for a good cause, and in the limits of the legislation, or to aid the legislation and the likes, no doubt this is praiseworthy and good. But whenever a person who uses the tongue and the eloquent speech to spread falsehood and to spread doubts and to take the rights of others, so on and so forth, also to take the rights of others, sometimes a person, maybe he will be oppressed and justice will be done to him, and the one who is the oppressor and the one who is wrong, he has the gift of gab, and he can convince the judge or the person who is ruling between them, and he can get away with his right. He can take his right unrightfully, and he oppressing him, and get away with that because of his tongue and because of his speech. And all of this is found and could be included in this narration here. Inna min al bayani la sihra. Inna min al bayani la sihra. After this, the author, he says, wa an ibn Amr. Wa an ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma marfu'an. Yani Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma. And it is also from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, inna allaha yubghidu al-baligha min al-rijal alladhi yatakhallalu bilisanihi kama tatakhallalu al-baqara. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, inna allaha yubghidu al-baligha min al-rijal. That verily Allah, he detests al-baligh min al-rijal. يعني البليغ البليغ يعني المبالغ يعني في كلامه المبالغ في فصاحة الكلام في فصاحة الكلام. The one who goes to extremes in eloquence, يعني the fact that a person يكون بليغا في لسانه أو بليغا في كلامه أو في خطبه, this is good, يعني if it's in the limits and if it's without extremism and going over the boundaries and the likes. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that verily Allah, he detests al-baligh min al-rijal. He detests the one who is goes to extremes and transgresses the limits with regards to eloquence in his speech. الَّذِي يَتَخَلَّلُ بِلِسَانِهِ كَمَا تَتَخَلَّلُ الْبَقَرَةِ. Yani the one who yani التخلل, he's making an example now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the baqara, the cow. The cow, whenever it eats with its tongue. It will eat with its tongue. And likewise, the cow, whenever it eats, it will lick his tongue, it will lick his lips. And the tongue will come out and lick his teeth. And the likes, and his tongue is going back and forth. The cow, that's how it eats. The cow will stick his tongue out. And تَتَخَلَّلُ بِلِسَانِهَا. And it eats like this, and it'll lick on its lips and lick on its teeth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's making a resemblance for the person like this, the one who goes to extremes in eloquence and goes beyond the boundaries, trying to be eloquent and beautiful in his speech and his delivery of the words and the likes like this. then he's mentioning that Allah, he hates or detests this type of person. And this is his resemblance. And whenever he's speaking, and he's licking his tongue, and he's moving his mouth, trying to make the words really big, or make the makharij of the huruf proper, and the likes like this, all of this is detestful and blameworthy. All of this is detestful and blameworthy. Again, the difference between the two is that the origin is the fasaha is beautiful and it's beneficial. And the Quran, from its beauty, is that it is of the fasaha and the balagha that's in the Quran, and the eloquence and the beauty, the beautiful speech in the Quran. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the most eloquent of the Arabs, and then he had the most beautiful speech. He's able to say the most clear words with great and beneficial meanings and only a few statements. But whenever a person, he will use this with this ability in a foul manner, or he'll go to extremes in that, then this is whenever it becomes blameworthy, and it becomes a sin in this manner. After this, the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه مرفوعا. And it has been narrated from Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, من تعلم صرف الكلام ليصرف به قلوب الرجال أو الناس لم يقبل الله منه يوم القيامة صرفا ولا عدلا. رواه أبو داود. And this is the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من تعلم صرف الكلام. صرف الكلام يعني الزيادة في الفصاحة والبلاغة. And the one who learns the excessive speech, the excessive eloquence in the speech, here it says, ليسرف به قلوب الرجال. In Sunan Abi Dawood, it says, ليسبية. This is how it's written here in the text of the author, rahimahullah. But when we return back to the text of Sunan Abi Dawood, the wording says, and even giving a more clear meaning, liyasbiya quluba rijali, to captivate the hearts of the men, aw annas, or the people. And the one who learns this excessive balagha and the fasaha and means of eloquence and the likes, and going to extremes in that, then in order to captivate the hearts of men or the hearts of the people, لم يقبل الله منه يوم القيامة صرفا ولا عدلا. The one who does this, Allah, He will not accept from him. Allah will not accept for him on the day of resurrection صرفا ولا عدلا. صرفا has been mentioned in التوبة أو النافلة. And adla has been mentioned, yani al-fidya, or al-fariḍa, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not accept his deeds on the day of resurrection. He will not accept from him an obligatory nor a non-obligatory action. And he's the one who does this. This narration is weak in the chain, but no doubt any of the warnings of the dangers of the tongue have come, and the clarification of that has come. And in general, the meaning is clear. But the issue here of learning al-balagha, or learning al-sarf, and learning al-nahu, and learning al-fasaha, and the likes, this is something that is necessary, and it's something that is praiseworthy, and it's one of the first things that a student of knowledge, he will embark upon, seeking knowledge. He will begin with learning al-nahu, and al-sarf, and the awzan, and also he will learn some of the affairs of al-balagha and al-bayan and the likes like this, in order for his tongue to be upright, so that he can be clear in his understanding of that which he reads from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah and the works of the people of knowledge, and likewise so that he can benefit from the scholars. So to learn these affairs in general is praiseworthy and good, but to learn them with the intention to overpower the people, or to be better than the people, or to draw the people's hearts to one and to be praised and the likes like this, this is whenever it becomes blameworthy. Or to spend one's lifetime learning this knowledge only and leaving off that which is more important. Yani learning the Arabic grammar and the Arabic language, and learning the sarf and the scales and the meaning of the scales, so on and so forth, is very beneficial. But one will not go to the ends of this science and studying this And if for a lifetime and leaving off that which is more important, and leaving off learning the obligation of the proper creed and the proper belief, for example. And many people have done this, and they'll busy themselves, and they'll learn great details and differences of opinion in the Arabic language and the different issues of al-adab, al-arabi, and the likes like this, and they don't even know the meaning of the shahada. They don't even know properly the meaning of the shahada or the proper creed. Or if you look at their prayer is not even close to the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very fundamentals of the religion. They had preoccupied themselves with this affair and left off that which is more important. And this is whenever likewise it will become blameworthy. But in general, to learn the Arabic language is very important. And to give precedence to that likewise, any with one's time and wealth and effort likewise is very important. But at the same time, one has to show even more concern for learning that which is obligatory upon him from his creed and from his deen, and establishing his religion in his life inwardly and outwardly in the daytime and the nighttime. This one takes precedence, but the best thing is to gather between the both of them. To gather between the both of them. After this, the author, he says, وَلِي أَحْمَدَ أَمْ مُعَوِيَةَ رضي الله عنه لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الذين يشققون الكلام تشقيق الشعر. And also it has been collected by Imam Ahmad from the Hadith of Muawiyah رضي الله عنه that he said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he cursed the one who يشققون الكلام, any of those who go to extremes in the speech. Tashqiqa al-shi'r, those who go to extremes in the speech and try to make it like as if it's poetry. And those who go to extreme in the speech and try to make their speech rhyming and the likes, and from the means of beautifying the speech in the Arabic language, there's the issue called as-sajya. As-sajya is whenever the last letter of the words will rhyme or be similar. And in general, this is something that is from the means to beautify the speech. But whatever is done excessively, it becomes blameworthy. It becomes blameworthy. And this is what is being mentioned here. A person who will try to speak and make every last thing he says rhyming in a rhyming manner and going to extremes in that issue, and then trying to make his speech as if it's poetry and the likes like this. This is whenever it becomes blameworthy, especially whenever he has the intention to make himself seem better than others, and to call the people to himself, and with his speech in this manner, this is blameworthy. No doubt, this is blameworthy. This narration is weak, and the chain, as the Muhaqqiq he mentioned, is very weak. And Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, has declared it unauthentic. But no doubt, this affair is blameworthy. And as-sajya, again, is something that's beautiful when it's done in moderation. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find that in his speech and sometimes in his supplication, but it's lightly and it's not in extremes. Or even with regards to the people of knowledge, how they will begin sometime the speech. For example, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Ashraf al Anbiya wa Mursaleen, Nabiyana Muhammad, alayhi afdalu salati wa tammu taslim. And you know, how it has a rhyming tone, like but that's moderate, that's easy, that's light, and that's beautiful. Alhamdulillah to the ears. When it's done in a moderate manner and in an easy way like this, then this is not blameworthy. But whenever a person who go to extremes in it, and he will take it too far and go beyond the limits with regards to that, this is whenever the people of knowledge have found it to be blameworthy. After this, the author he says, "Rahimahullah, babu shiddat al-jidan." Babu Shiddati Al-Jidal, the chapter with regards to extreme argumentation and quarreling. Shidda Al-Jidal, and extreme quarreling and arguing. Al-Jidal, yani wal-mujadala, it means to debate and to argue and to quarrel. But the intent from that is to silence the other person, and to debate with him and to quarrel with him in order to silence him. In order to silence him and to render him incapable of responding, to silence him and to quiet him with proof, and back and forth, and also to clarify the opponent's weakness and deficiency, and his statements and in his position and the likes like this, all of this were to clarify his ignorance and so on and so forth. This is, and it wasn't, is intended by al-jidal or al-mujadila. Al-mujadila, also what is known as al-mukhasama or al-mira, any arguing and debating and quarreling, and in order to silence somebody, and also in order to clarify the ignorance of that person, or the deficiency of that individual, or the falsehood of their statement, or the likes like this, and to belittle them in the end. And this is what is intended. Yani, and al-jidal, likewise, there's an aspect that is praiseworthy and good, and that is for the people of knowledge to debate with the truth and to clarify the truth, and those who are qualified. And the affairs of al-jidal have come in previous classes in the book Akhlaq al-Ulama. There's a chapter specifically about that affair, clarifying how the person of knowledge, the one whom Allah had benefited him in this life and the hereafter with knowledge, how he would debate whenever he's in need of debating, and the details of that. And likewise, the blameworthy aspects of debating. Also in classes with the sisters, we had that chapter in the book, My Advice to the Women, Yani al-jidal bighayri haqq, to debate without right. And that's what is intended here. So if somebody wanted to have more details of these affairs, then they could find the recordings of these issues in these two classes. But in general, what the author is mentioning now, the arguing and debating with the meaning that has preceded, in order to belittle somebody, or to declare them to be ignorant, and to silence them and to quiet them, and also what is in turn coming with that, to display one's power over them, and one's authority over them, and one's virtue over them, and the likes like this. And he says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَهُوَ لَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ, وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. And in this verse here, meaning that he is the most severe opponent. He is the most severe opponent. Al-Khisam, yani, to be debating and arguing, al-mukhasama. And whenever the one who was debating, sometimes a person, he'll become severe in that. He'll begin debating, and then he'll become severe and harsh and rude and mean and quarreling and the likes in his speech. And this is what is intended. Al-Laddu al-Khisam. After this, he says, "When Aisha radiallahu anha marfu'an," and also it has been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Inna abghad al-rijal ila Allahi al-aladu al-khasim," that verily the most detestful of the men, any of the men who debate and quarrel, and that's the meaning, the most detestful of the men, al-rijal al-mukhasimin, and of the men who are debating and quarreling, al-aladu al-khasim, the one who is staunch and harsh and severe in his quarreling, in his quarreling. This hadith is mutafakun alayhi. So and Nawawi, he mentioned al-alad, yani shadil al-khusuma. So al-khasim, he's already somebody who's debating. Al-khasim is somebody who's already debating. He's known for debating and quarreling and arguing. But al-ladd al-khasim wa al-ladd al-khisam, then this person here, he's the one who's severe and staunch in his argument and his argumentation, and his quarreling and his fighting. And Nawawi he mentioned any of that al-ladd, yani from al-ladd, ma'khudhu min ladiday al-wadi, yani janibayhi, yani the ladd is the side of al-lidad, is the two sides of the valley. So here what is intended, yani al-ladd al-khasam, meaning because no matter where you go with him, he's going to go to one side or the other. If you bring him to this side, you bring the proof to him like this, it will not silence him. He'll run to the other side. He'll run to the other side, and he will debate over here. And whenever you bring a proof over here, he'll go back over here and debate. He's always going back and forth in this manner. You can never silence him. And he always has, yani, a point of argumentation and debate, and the likes like this. So he's al-addu al-khasam. Al-addu al-khasam, the one who is constantly arguing and debating, and the likes. And what is intended in the verse, is clarified previously, and this is with regards to the hypocrites again. And Allah, he says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ, that from the people there are those who their speech amazes you. And you like the speech that they say. Previously, with the verse in Al-Munafiqun, Surah Al-Munafiqun, that whenever they speak, you are amazed at their speech. And وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ. And he calls Allah to witness about what is in his heart. And he's referring here to the hypocrites, swearing by Allah that he's a Muslim and that he loves the deen and that he bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger. وَهُوَ لَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. And he's the most staunch and severe opponent and quarreler and one in argumentation. So this is the case again, clarifying from the attributes of the hypocrites is that they debate and they quarrel and they argue. And likewise, that they bear witness to that which is not in their hearts. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So that means that their tongues are foul and their statements are lies, and that which is in their heart is even worse. And that which is even in their hearts is even worse. وَيَتَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ يُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادَ. And their actions likewise are in line with that as well, bringing corruption in the land. Bringing corruption in the land, and Allah, He does not love corruption. After this, the author, he says, وَلِي تِرْمِذِي عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا مَرْفُوعًا. And also it has been collected by At-Tirmidhi from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, كَفَى بِكَ إِثْمًا أَلَا تَزَالَ مُخَاسِمًا. It's sufficient for you to be considered a sin that you will continue to debate and to argue with the people. That you will continue to debate and to argue with the people. And likewise, the people of knowledge have mentioned that this chain has some weakness in it. But again, meaning is correct. This is because the person who continues to quarrel and continues to argue and continues to debate, this would lead him to saying that which is not true. This would lead him to falling into speech that is blameworthy and not praiseworthy because of his quarreling and his debating. And for this reason, it's from the usul of Ahl Sunnah, that they do not debate in the religion and they do not quarrel in the deen. Even Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he began his work, Usul al-Sunnah, from the very first affairs he mentioned was the affair of not debating and quarreling and arguing in the religion. Imam Ahmad, he began that great treatise clarifying the creed of Ahl sunnah, and he said, Usul al-Sunnah indana atamassuku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa iqtida'u bihim. Yani the foundation of the sunnah, of the deen, with us is to hold fast to that which the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were upon, and to follow them, and to take them as role models. وَتَرْكُ الْبِدْعَةِ, and to leave off innovation. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ فَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ فَهِيَ ضَلَالَةٍ. Because every innovation, it is misguidance. And then after that, he said, وَتَرْكُ الْخُصُمَاتِ, and to leave off debating and arguing. Coupled with that, he says, وَالْجُلُوسِ مَعَ أَصْحَابِ الْأَهْوَاءِ, leaving off quarreling and debating and sitting with the people of desires. وَتَرْكِ الْمِرَاءَ وَالْجِدَالِ وَخُصُمَاتِ فِي الدِّينِ, and leaving off debating and quarreling and arguing in the religion. Look how he has mentioned this from the usul of the sunnah, from the very first thing to mention. The obligation of following the companions and leaving off innovation. And then after that, the obligation or the prohibition from arguing and quarreling, coupled with sitting with the people of desires. An indication that the people of desires, they're the ones who argue and quarrel and debate in the religion, because they're the ones themselves shakun. They're not even certain themselves and about their position many times, and they're debating and they're quarreling and they're arguing in the religion. And this is from the fastest means to leave the sunnah. From the fastest means to leave the sunnah is to debate and to quarrel and to argue in the religion. And this is why it's from the foundations of the sunnah to not do that. A man, he came to Imam Malik rahimahullah, and he said, I want to debate you. And he said, if I beat you, you follow me. If you beat me, I follow you. Imam Malik, he said, what if somebody else comes along and beats both of us? He said, then we follow him. He said, we follow him. He said, the religion is not, ad-deenu laysa lil-mughalaba. The religion is not based upon whoever can overcome, and whoever can overcome one another. And this is not the religion. He says, أَمَّا أَنَا فَأَنَا عَلَى يَقِينَ مِنْ دِينِي فِذْهَبْ إِلَى شَاكٍ مِثْلَكَ فَخَاسِمْهُ. That as for me, I'm upon certainty in my religion. So you go to somebody who's doubtful like you and go debate with him. So debating in the religion is blameworthy. Debating and arguing and quarreling in the religion, this is blameworthy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, مَا ضَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ حُدًا كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أُتُوا جَدَلًا. That a people have never been misguided. A people have never been misguided after being upon guidance, except that they have fallen into arguing. This is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, except that they have fallen into arguing. This is not from the deen. Any arguing and quarreling in the religion. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.